Well, we're met here tonight to remember our Lord's birth. And that is something that we tend to do at this time of the year as opposed to other times of the year, though there's nothing at all that suggests in Scripture we should only remember the Lord's birth once a year. This is something that is important to think about at any time of the year and at all times of the year. One thing that we associate with Christmas, obviously, since we were little kids, is gifts. I remember very well that time in my own life in the city of Belfast, Northern Ireland, when I was about maybe 8 or 9 years of age, and I kind of was one of those who wondered where the gifts really came from. Some kids at school had already told me where they came from, and I didn't know whether to believe them or not. And so I was supposed to be in bed this one night, but I made my way out of bed to the top step of our landing. I could hear some commotion downstairs in the living room, and I figured something was going on that I should find out about. And I went down the stairs and gate crashed. An event that was taking place called gift wrapping that involved my mother and my two older sisters at the time. So the game was up. And I, of course, was hastily ushered back up the stairs to bed and with all sorts of fury from my sisters accompanying that. But there it is. But I've always enjoyed gifts at Christmas, and I'm sure you do as well. Now, the Lord Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's certainly true when you give a gift to someone, particularly a child, and when they open it, you know how that happens, they rip the paper off that you've spent so much time meticulously putting together, it just comes off in a matter of seconds, and their little faces just light up when they see what that gift is. Or it might be something bigger, like a bike or some other thing that they will enjoy. And just to see that joy that the gift brings to them makes that scripture so much more true in your experience. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There's a joy in giving as well as in receiving. We all like to receive gifts as well. Well, the Bible talks about giving and receiving gifts. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, there's just one verse of scripture that I want to mention and pass a few comments on. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And we should understand that 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 are all about giving. They're all about liberality in stewardship, in giving to the Lord and to His work. But Paul closes out what he has to say with this statement. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And in the context, if you read it carefully, you will understand that he's talking about the gift of his dear son. Because just earlier in chapter 8 and verse 9, he says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." The gift of his dear son. And Paul is saying, while we're thinking about giving to God and we're thinking about gifts, we should think about this: giving thanks to God for his indescribable gift. His unspeakable gift. There are three simple things in that text that I want to mention. The first one is the giver. And the giver is God. Thanks be unto God. I know that you can't think of a gift, whether it be at a birthday or at Christmas or some other time, without also thinking of the giver. Isn't it true that the one who gives the gift is as important, perhaps more important, than the gift? And here we're reminded in Scripture that God is a giver. Now, we hear of individuals from time to time described as very giving people. Someone is a very giving person. But there's none who could ever give like God. And I want to tell you that Satan loves to portray the Lord not as a giver, but as a taker. And in tempting our first parents, Adam and Eve, this is how God was presented by Satan. The devil talked to them in the form of a serpent about what God was keeping back from them, what God didn't want them to have, rather than talking about those many things that he had already freely given to them. He allowed them to eat of every tree of the garden except for one. But that's the thing that the devil wanted to talk about. And Satan still misrepresents God to men as a taker, as a robber, as a prohibitor, as somebody who wants to keep back the person from joy and blessing and fun and happiness. But the scripture says God is love. And love is always evidenced by what it gives. And we can measure how much someone loves us by how much they're willing to give us. And the Bible says that God will give us good things, that he has given to us richly all things to enjoy. James tells us in his epistle, chapter 1, verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is a giver. And not only has he given us all the temporal and material benefits of life, all the things that all men enjoy in common, but the spiritual blessings that we need. And God is our great example in giving. Christians ought to be followers of God as dear children. He's the greatest possible giver. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. God is the great giver. But our text in the second place talks about the gift. Thanks be unto God, the giver, for his unspeakable gift. What is the gift of God? Well, there's no gift that God could ever give us that is greater than the gift that we celebrate at this time of the year, and that is the gift of his own self. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh. And there's no earthly gift that could ever compare with the gift of God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the gifts that we give each other at Christmas and other times, they have a value. They have some kind of price that we could put upon it. But not so this gift. This is the unspeakable gift, because God gave himself in the person of Christ. Here we have incarnation. We read about it in one of the scriptures earlier. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This is the unspeakable gift. Now that word unspeakable actually means inexpressible. It can't really be put into words, because it's such a mystery. One of the Puritans, talking about the birth of Jesus, said, "The infinite became an infant." The infinite became an infant, a little baby. As the shepherds looked upon that little child and others that came to visit Jesus, they looked upon him in the manger. They were looking upon God manifest in human flesh. An amazing thing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heaven's best was given in the incarnation. But we not only have here incarnation, but salvation. This gift is, as we've indicated, Christ himself, and salvation by his dying work at Calvary. You see, Jesus came not just to live and show us how to live and be a good person and show us how to be good persons. He came to die. Someone said his cradle led to his cross. Someone said that he was, in fact, born to die. And this is true. This is the reason that he came into the world. Paul said it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How would he do that? by dying on Calvary's cross. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we look at the cross of Calvary, we see their unspeakable grace given to man. Whenever Jesus was born, he was wrapped in what the Bible calls swaddling clothes or swaddling bands. You may or may not know this, but those were actual wrappings that were used on a dead corpse. They were wrappings that were used to wrap up, to embalm a body when a person died. So right there at the beginning, when Jesus was first born, instead of being put into a lovely little garment such as some babies today would be put into, he was wrapped in swaddling bands. And there was a pointer there right away to the purpose for which he had come. He was going to die for sinners such as you and me. This is the gift. And when we think about the gift of God, we think about his grace. A gift is not something that you pay for. Wouldn't you be insulted if someone came to you and they said to you, "Now here's your gift. This is what I'm giving you for Christmas. And that'll be such and such an amount." You'd be like, "What? That's not a gift. You mean you want me to pay for my gift? You've got to be kidding me. That's not a gift. A gift is something, by definition, that's freely given." And when we think about God's gift, it's not a wage packet. It's not a salary. It's not something that you earn. It would be an insult to a giver, wouldn't it, if you offered to pay for your present. "Oh, how much did that cost you? I'll pay you for that gift." But that's exactly what people do when it comes to God's salvation. That's exactly what they do. They'll say to God, "Now, in order to have your salvation, I'll join the church. Or I'll get baptized. Or I'll come to communion. In order to be your child, Lord, I'll give you this, and I'll give you that, and I'll give you the other thing. I'll provide you with my good works." But God's gift is not offered for sale. It's free. God's great gift to sinners is a free gift. Now, it cost a lot. It cost an infinite amount. Words can't express it. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. It's God's unspeakable gift. And in Christ, we have all gifts rolled into one. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" It's an unspeakable gift. Words would fail me to try to set forth the glories and the wonders of Christ. A preacher called C.H. Spurgeon in London once said, "There was a painter who tried to portray a man on canvas 13 times, and he just eventually gave up. He just could not capture that person on the canvas." And a preacher is like that in reference to Jesus Christ. He just isn't capable of saying all that needs to be said. And the preacher will never be lost for sermon material when he preaches Christ. He could never exhaust the theme if he were the one and only subject. And we could certainly not express the mystery of the sufferings of Christ at Gethsemane and at the cross. No words of men or of angels would be adequate, for he is the unspeakable gift. And then thirdly and lastly, our text would really indicate to us the gratitude. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Now, there's a bit of a paradox here. You can't sufficiently speak about the gift of God because it is the unspeakable or indescribable gift, and yet speak of that gift in gratitude we must. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Don't you hate to see, as an adult, ungrateful children? That really annoys me. When a child receives a gift and they don't even say thanks, they just snap it out of your hand and off they go. That's not good. We should be grateful. We should teach our children to be grateful. It's always nice to have a thank you from somebody, isn't it? Whether it be written or spoken. Jesus told a story about 10 lepers. They were healed by Christ. But of the 10, only one came back to thank him. And the other 9 just didn't bother. What base ingratitude. But sometimes we're like that. We don't thank God for every blessing, and especially for the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, how can we show gratitude for God's unspeakable gift? Well, we can certainly do it by speaking to our Father in heaven about it. We can offer to him the thanks of our lips. We can offer to him thanksgiving in praise. That's what we do when we sing the great songs of the faith, when we pray. How ungrateful it is not to thank those who give you gifts. And so it is with the Lord. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We just had the period known as Thanksgiving. And it's called Thanksgiving for that reason. We're supposed to be thankful. We're supposed to give thanks to God. And this is something that the text sets forth. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We can show gratitude by speaking of the gift to our Father in heaven, but we also can do that by speaking of that gift to our fellows on earth. Witnessing of Christ to others, and I'm speaking now to Christian people, you should by your life and by your lips be commending God's gift to men and women everywhere. Show that you're thankful to God for saving your soul by seeking to win others to Christ and telling them, as Stuart Hamblin did in his hymn, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And this text is, of course, written to a church. It's for believers. And so I would just say it is difficult to be grateful for a gift that you haven't received. A gift obviously suggests a giver, but also one to whom it is given, the receiver. So my question to you would be, as we're thinking about the birth of Christ and Jesus coming into the world to be our Savior, have we received the gift of God? You know, whenever Jesus came the first time, he was rejected by most. And it's still the same tonight. Most people reject Christ. They don't really want to have him in their lives. They don't really have time for him. We read about when Jesus and Mary and Joseph came. Jesus was still in the womb of his mother. But they came to that city, that little town of Bethlehem, and they were trying to find a place to stay, and there was no room for them in the inn. There was probably one motel in that little place, and it was all booked out. There was no room for Christ. So they had to take him to a stable, lay him in a manger in straw with all the animals around and all the smell and all of that, and he was laid in swaddling bands and brought forth there by his mother. There was no room for him in the inn. And tonight there's still in many hearts no room for the Lord Jesus Christ in reality. And yet he's the gift of God. He came unto his own and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power, it means the right or the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I'm so glad that Jesus is not a Savior just for rich people or for highfalutin people. He's not beyond the reach of any sinner, even if he's from where I'm from. Even a beggar can receive a free gift. He can't give anything in return for it but his gratitude. And having received the unspeakable gift, those of us who have, may we never cease to give thanks. You know, I was thinking about this, even when we die and we go to heaven, as believers in Christ, we're still going to be able to repeat this text. We'll be able to say this for all the endless ages of eternity. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's the reason I'm here. It's because Jesus gave his life for me. And may that be the testimony of each and every one of us. May we thank God truly for his unspeakable gift.